The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me on this Friday afternoon. And most of you know what Friday means. Open phones. There's a lot that we could talk about today. A lot of things I'm planning on talking about, but to be really honest, I'd rather hear from you. On Fridays, you set the tone, you set the program, you pick the topics. We'll go in whatever direction you want to go. You can make statements, you can ask questions, you can agree, you can disagree. Whatever it is you want to talk about, my phone lines are open at 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I have some breaking news, well, at least for me. I can't believe I didn't see it sooner, but just a few minutes ago, I saw a press release that John MacArthur and Grace Community Church in California has prevailed again. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe this is the fifth declaration by a judge in Southern California, and I keep referring to this as ping pong. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, for John MacArthur against John MacArthur, for John MacArthur against John MacArthur, back and forth. You can meet, you can't meet. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Well, here is the latest. You can. Well, at least for now. Judge Mitchell L. Beckloff indicated that he agreed with John MacArthur that there are serious constitutional concerns that have not been fully tried. He reiterated that his prior ruling on the preliminary injunction was not a decision on the merits regarding the constitutionality of those orders. Quote, because a contempt hearing is a quasi-criminal proceeding, Beckloff agreed that MacArthur and Grace Community Church are entitled to constitutional protections at a trial. Yes, a judge in Los Angeles has determined that John MacArthur and Grace Community Church are entitled to a full trial on the constitutionality of the government shutdown orders and the preliminary injunction that shut down the church has been lifted. I'm looking for through the news release as to if a trial date has been set. Okay, I'm scrolling down. No, but it's going to be a while. Okay. Because California shut down orders, the contempt trial is not expected to take place until early next year. So, Grace Community Church in California will be open for worship until at least early next year, when a full-blown trial will be held. That's a victory. That is a victory. Good for John MacArthur. And, you know, even if you disagree with John MacArthur defying the government and so forth, you have to admire his courage and his stand for biblical truth and for constitutional truth as well. So that is the latest. Now, we have been at this place several times before where we thought, okay, that's a done deal. The county has been defeated. We don't know. But as it stands right now, John MacArthur and Grace Community Church can meet openly inside until a full trial, and that probably will not happen until early next year. That's good news. Here is more good news. This is not a well-known research agency, but they just released some research that indicates that conservative Bible-believing churches across America are at least holding their own through the whole COVID-19 thing, and many of them are actually growing. Now, here's the people that are suffering, the liberal churches. The liberal churches are, well, I started to say the liberal churches are dying. They've been dying, but they are suffering the most from lack of attendance and so forth. But, and this is interesting, according to this research, the churches that are not profiting, that's not the word I'm looking for, that are being helped the most are small, conservative, Bible-believing churches. Those churches are, my brain is stuck on prospering. That's not what I mean, but you know what I mean. They are being encouraged most, growing most. They are being helped the most by this whole COVID-19 thing. So in other words, there are churches across America that are actually growing during this time. Growing! The liberal churches, the ELCA, down. PCUSA, down. United Methodist Church, down. Small, independent, Bible-believing churches are experiencing growth. Well, there's a hunger, folks. People want answers. These are tough, difficult times. And during tough, difficult times, the Church of Jesus Christ that is faithful to the Word of God, that's where people find real answers. That's good news. All right, before the break, let's go to Jack in Worthington. Hey, Jack, welcome. Thanks for calling today.
Hey, thank goodness for YouTube. This morning, I heard about John MacArthur.
Well, you heard about it before I did. I didn't hear about it until about an hour ago.
I heard about it this morning on YouTube.
Good for you.
Also, they had live stream with Ken Hay of the opening of that abortion part of the museum.
Yeah, yeah.
And they showed it. And it is fascinating. I'll never get to see it because of my health. But if you're able, folks out there that are able to travel, go and see it. Ken Hay's going to use that Creation Museum and also that Ark Museum to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if folks, if you don't know what Jack is talking about, the Creation Museum today opened a brand new, I think it's a $1.2 million exhibit on pro-life, about when does life begin.
That's what it was all about today.
Yeah, that's at the Creation Museum, and it opened today. And
I had the vacation
today,
the opening live stream, and I watched it.
Good for you.
And by the way, speaking about live stream, I've been watching Sergeant Preston of the Yukon and his Wonder Dog, Yukon King, and then Gangbusters.
Oh, my goodness.
And then also on YouTube, they had Toast of the Town, Ed Sullivan's show. You know who was on there? W.C. Henley. You know who he was?
I don't remember. It sounds familiar.
He wrote the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, no kidding.
He played it on his trumpet on that song. He got a standing ovation.
Wow.
He's an African-American.
Yeah?
A beautiful trumpet player.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
And then I watched Louis Armstrong in 1930 and his band.
Satchmo.
And boy, he could play the trumpet. He and Harry James. And Harry James played the bumblebee on YouTube. How he did it is beyond me. I tried to play the trumpet. I made noise. Harry James and Louis Armstrong made noise.
You know, I when I was in elementary school, I took up violin. And I was horrible at it, but I always wanted to play the trumpet. Never did. But that was the one instrument that I really wanted to play. Never did it. And I gave up the violin because I was so horribly bad. Hey, Jack, I got to go. Good to talk to you.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
All right, have a good weekend. Bye. All right, hey, we can talk about Sergeant York of the Yukon. That should prove to you that this is Open Phone Friday. Louis Armstrong? Long-lost dreams of playing the trumpet? Yeah, we can talk about anything. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 262-5483.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And it's 3:52 p.m. Eastern Time on a Friday. I welcome you on an Open Phone Friday. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. And we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to head to Reynoldsburg and talk with Jeff. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Bob.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to share a story about Pastor MacArthur that I don't know if many people are aware of. But in one of his teachings, he related a story about when he was 17. So it was like 1968 or whatever. He was down in the Deep South preaching to black high school students, preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was arrested by a local sheriff. And I think the bond was $17, and somehow he finally came up with it. But the point of that story is that he had core beliefs and principles that he didn't care what it cost him. He was going to preach the gospel, and that was, back in 68, and back in the Deep South back then, that was very dangerous. And so I just always admired him for doing that.
Absolutely. Well, he follows in the footsteps of his father. I grew up in Southern California listening to his dad, Jack MacArthur, on Christian radio, and he was fearless. I mean, he was absolutely fearless in his stand for truth. That was in Los Angeles when a whole lot of people were compromising truth. He, Jack MacArthur and J. Vernon McGee were the strong fundamental evangelicals' voices for truth in Southern California. And then John took over for his dad, and he has certainly followed in that legacy.
Yes, he has. And one more quick story about that. He said how the day Martin Luther King was assassinated, he was meeting with black leaders down there. And they drove, I think it was Mississippi or Arkansas, but anyhow, they left immediately. And so he was in Memphis the day. They were up there with the balcony. Him and these black ministers and stuff all went there that very day, April 4th, I think it was. So, yeah, he definitely was deeply involved, you know, preaching the gospel to whoever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Twice, I guess, when I was pastoring in Westerville, flew out to California to his pastor's conference, and they were just incredibly helpful and encouraging. John MacArthur has been he's been on the front lines, and he's been a soldier of the faith for a long, long time, and it doesn't look like he's going to stop anytime soon.
No, and he was there in the 90s when they were that letter about, you know, the concordat between the Catholic beliefs and the Protestant beliefs, and he was there fighting that battle too, but I'll let you go, and I just appreciate you letting me share that story.
Absolutely. I am honored that you called. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank
Have
you,
a
sir.
Great weekend.
You
All
too.
Right. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. You got people like John MacArthur that are fighting for the truth and biblical clarity, and then you've got some of the leaders, and I say some, of the United Methodist Church. Now, the American leadership of the United Methodist Church is just about completely corrupt, but there are still some fine churches, there are still some fine pastors within the United Methodist Church. It's the leadership. And that's not true around the world. The African leadership are very Bible-oriented, but then there's America. Well, you may have heard about this controversy a few months ago. It is about the logo of the United Methodists. Maybe you've seen it. It's a cross with two flames coming up on the left side of the cross. Now, where that logo came from, the Methodists and the Brethren, one of the Brethren denominations and the Methodists, merged many years ago, and they became the United Methodist Church. Well, the two flames represent the two former denominations uniting together around the message of the cross. Okay? Well, that's great. Until somebody said, "What? Flames around a cross? That's like the KKK. Now, I challenge anybody with any common sense whatsoever to take a look at the logo of the United Methodist Church and in your wildest imagination come up with that represents the burning crosses of the KKK. But somebody, some individual, one person suggested it, and now there is a movement among the United Methodists to get rid of the logo, including a regional body in Texas, of all places. Yep, the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church is going to get rid of the cross. Interesting, huh? Yeah, these are weird times, folks. Wow. All right, we'll be back.